Amen. My, my, you all are looking really good today. Really wonderful. What an encouragement you are to this pastor's heart. And I want to tell you that I love you. I'm so thankful to be in the family of God here at Big Spring Baptist Church. And we're getting ready to go out in just a little bit and invite this community to that love of the Lord Jesus Christ and to come find it here at Big Spring Baptist Church and see what God is doing here. We're looking at the seven sayings from the cross in John chapter 19, beginning in verse 28 this morning. Obviously, we're going to look briefly at this fifth saying from the cross, and I just can't let it go. So sometime after Easter, we're going to come back, and we're going to look at this a little bit more in depth. But let me read from John chapter 19, beginning in verse 28. After this, Jesus knew that everything had been completed, so that the scripture would come true. He said, "I'm thirsty." There was a jar full of vinegar there, so the soldiers soaked a sponge in it. They put the sponge on a branch of hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' mouth. Now, why in the world did Jesus say, "I'm thirsty"? We're going to look at this a little bit more in depth of what we've already said, but it shows the humanity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when he says that I thirst. And we know that Jesus was God. We know that Jesus was also in human form. And some people teach that Jesus was half God and half man. No, that is not at all true. Jesus was not 50% God and 50% human. Jesus was not hybrid. He was 100% God. He is 100% God, and he was 100% human. Fully human, so that he could fully experience the pain of life, the suffering of life, and everything that we go through. And it's just as important as saying Jesus was God to say Jesus was human. But also in these verses, we see that it talks about so that the scriptures would come true. Jesus said, "I am thirsty." Now, for thousands of years, God spoke to the Jewish nation saying that I'm going to come to the earth as a Messiah, as your Messiah, the Messiah. I'm going to come and I'm going to die for you. I'm sending a Savior. And all of this sacrificial system of the Old Testament that the Jewish nation was following, it doesn't work. It is just a symbol to you to remember what I am coming to do one day. Over 380 times in the Old Testament, over thousands of years, God tells the Jewish nation, here's how you're going to know that the true Messiah is here. I don't want you following any fakes, because there will be fakes who will come and say, "I'm the Messiah." But I don't want you to follow them. And so God gave 380 plus of these conditions. They're called prophecies. And for Jesus to be who he claimed to be, the Son of God, come in the flesh, he would have to fulfill every single prophecy about the Messiah in the Old Testament. And Jesus fulfilled every single one of those. That's something we hear and we see in these verses from John chapter 19 in this saying from the cross. But another truth is, as we look at this, it shows that Jesus was willing to suffer as a human being. He was willing to thirst for me in order that I might go to heaven. And Jesus is doing redemptive suffering there on the cross. He is dying for the redemption of others. He's not dying for his own salvation. He is dying for my salvation, for your salvation. It is redemptive suffering that Jesus is doing. He's paying for our sins, and he's going thirsty for our benefit. But what I want to really just hone in on for just a few minutes this morning is the fact that not only we see the thirst of Jesus, not only do we see the thirst, our own thirst, but we also see the thirst of others and how God wants us to be responsible as believers to the people of the world to let them know what they are really thirsting for. And so I want you to write this in. First of all, serving Jesus means I must serve others. If I am going to be a part of what Jesus Christ has called me to do here on this earth, I must serve others. All of us want to serve God. All of us want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But the only way you can serve Jesus is by serving others. You can't see God here on this earth. God is invisible here on this earth. So how can you serve Him? You can't. You can serve directly to God in heaven, but not here on earth. The only way you can serve God now is by serving other people in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, helping others in Jesus' name. Now, Jesus talked about this in Matthew chapter 25 and beginning in verse 37. In fact, one day people are going to come to me, Jesus said, and say, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you? Or when did we ever see you thirsty and give you something to drink? And God will tell them, I assure you, when you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you were doing it to me. And Jesus is saying, we serve Him. We serve God by serving others. We quench the thirst of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by quenching the thirst of other people. Now, think about the irony of this saying from Jesus, of Jesus on the cross. Here is God. Jesus is God, the Creator God. He created every ounce of water in the entire world, in the entire universe. He created every lake in Tennessee. He created every river in Tennessee and all over the world and in the universe. And the God of the ages, the one who created the oceans, all the glaciers, every single drop of water that falls, it was the idea of God, H2O. He says, I thirst. What's going on here? Certainly he could have just instantly done a miracle to quench his own thirst. But Jesus doesn't do a miracle on the cross. Instead, he asks for human assistance. Can anybody help me? I'm just a little bit busy right now. I'm dying for the sins of the world. And I've got my hands and my feet nailed to the cross. Could you do me a favor? I thirst. And he asks for human assistance. And a soldier who is not even a believer runs and he gets a sponge and he dips it in vinegar and holds it to the mouth of our Lord. What a scene. The point is that God does much through His people. He does many things through us. Sometimes we pray and we see people in need out there, and we're going to see people out there in need today. I really believe we are. All you got to do is just walk just a little while or drive just a little while in this community. You see people in need. You'll see people suffering from addictions. You'll see people suffering from poverty. You'll see people suffering from sickness of heart and soul. And we pray to God and we say, God, why don't you do something? And God's saying, I'm asking you the same question. I'm asking you, why don't you do something? I've given you hands and I've given you feet. Why don't you do something? Suffering is always an opportunity for service. But the second thing we learn about serving others, and when Jesus says that I thirst, and helping to quench the thirst of others, is that whatever I do, God will see it and I will receive pay for serving others. And literally that's what that word means in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 42. He says, if you give even a cup of cold water to one of the least of my father's followers, you will surely be paid. You will surely be rewarded. And he says, even just giving a cup of cold water to somebody who's thirsty, that's ministry. And ministry, let me just give you a short definition of ministry. Ministry is meeting needs with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Meeting needs with love. That's what ministry is. And Jesus said that you just give a cup of cold water to somebody who's thirsty, that's ministry. Now, some of you may be just kind of on the line this morning. I don't know whether I'm going to go out or not. And you can walk and you want to walk, but you're not sure. I don't know if I can lead somebody to Christ. I don't know if I could go through those tracks. I don't know whether I could do that. Well, you don't have to. If you just go with the eyes that are open and eyes that you look at the needs of those that you're going to encounter and just say, how can I help you? Maybe there's a word of encouragement, as our brother spoke about, a word of encouragement that you could give somebody. And I want to say that there's going to be somebody in your group who knows how to lead people to Jesus Christ. We're going to have the tracts. We're going to have the Bibles. We're going to have those things. But what God is asking us to do is to invite folks, and we've got the material. Just give that material to them and help them with that. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a teacher. You just give a cup of cold water. Maybe you come back here and get some cold water. Somebody's thirsty or whatever it may be. Or you go to the store and get them some water, whatever. But if you're doing it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you do it in love, God says that counts. You will be paid by God, rewarded by God. Now, I came across a story this week that just really touched my heart for what we're going to be going to do. And I'm going to read this story to you. It's by a guy named Doug Nichols. And Doug was living in India. Doug is a Christian. And he wrote this. When I got tuberculosis in India, I was forced to stay in a sanitarium for several months. I didn't speak the language, but I tried to give Christian literature in their language to the patients and to the doctors and to the nurses. But everybody politely refused. Nobody wanted the literature. The first few nights, I woke up around 2 o'clock in the morning coughing. During one of my coughing spells, I noticed an older man, sicker than I, with TB, a patient across the room trying to get out of bed. This old man would sit up on the edge of his bed. But when he tried to stand in weakness, he'd fall back in the bed. And he did it over and over. And I didn't understand what he was trying to do. But he finally gave up, exhausted. And I could hear him crying softly in the bed. The next morning, I realized that he'd been trying to get up to go to the bathroom. The stench in our ward was awful. Other patients yelled insults at the man. Angry nurses moved him roughly as they cleaned up the mess. One nurse even slapped him. The old man curled into a ball and wept. The next night, I woke up again coughing, and I noticed the same man trying to get out of bed again. Like the night before, he fell back, whimpering, unable to get up. So I got out of my bed, and I went over to him to help him. And when I touched his shoulder, his eyes opened wide with fear. But I smiled, put my arms under him, said nothing, and picked him up. He was very light due to old age and advanced TB. I carried him to the toilet, which was just a filthy small room with a hole in the floor. I stood behind him with my arms under his armpits as he took care of himself. After he finished, I carried him back to his bed. As I laid him down, he kissed me on the cheek and smiled and said, he said something in Indian I couldn't understand. The next morning, I was awakened by another patient who handed me a steaming cup of tea. He motioned with his hands that he wanted a gospel tract. As the sun rose, other patients approached and indicated they also wanted the booklets that no one else was interested in before. Throughout the day, nurses and interns and doctors asked for my booklet about Jesus. Weeks later, a pastor who spoke the language visited me and told me that several in the hospital had put their trust in Christ as a result of reading the booklets. So what did it take to reach these dear people with the good news? Not my ability to speak their language or even give a persuasive presentation. I simply helped a man to the bathroom. I want to ask you the question, is anybody going to be in heaven because of you? You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a Sunday school teacher. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to have the Bible memorized. But you do have to be willing to take people to the bathroom if that's what they need. And the question I ask myself, and I want to ask you, what are we willing to do? What am I willing to do to get people into the kingdom of God? What level of love are you willing to show, not only today, but your next door neighbor this week, your friends this week, your relatives this week? Are you willing to say, come ride in my car with me to Easter service? Is that too hard? What are you willing to do to see that someone else's eternal destiny is secured? And I believe this is what being a Christian is all about, showing love in practical ways. So I would just simply say, walk with us today and just keep your eyes open. And where there are needs that we can meet, let's do it. One other thing I want to point out. God says the most Christ-like ministry is to those who hate you. The most Christ-like ministry is to our enemies. When I serve Jesus, I serve him by serving others. And he takes notice of the smallest service, and the most Christ-like service is actually to people I least feel like helping out. And Jesus said it like this. If your enemies are hungry, give them food to eat. Lord, my enemies? Feed my enemies? And then he goes on, if they're thirsty, give them water to drink. But Lord, they're my enemies. I don't like their lifestyle. I don't like their political views. I don't like the fact that they don't like me. Jesus said, give them something to drink. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And he says you show love to the very enemies that don't like you. Now, what about you? Are you thirsty today? I don't mean for water. But are you unsatisfied with your life? Are you thirsty for something in life that you're just thirsty and you don't know what it is? Your life, you want your life to be fulfilled, you want your life to be satisfying, you want your life to be meaningful, but it's just not there. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled, and only God can fully satisfy you. What are you thirsting for today? You may think it is for money. You may think it is for a better job. You may think it is for more wealth. You may think it is for something else. But your thirst is for righteousness and your thirst is for God. God put that God-shaped hole in your heart that only he can fill. And when you continually try to fill it with something else, you will never be satisfied. But if you come to Jesus, Jesus said, you will be fully satisfied. You will be completely satisfied. You will be continuously satisfied. And you will be certainly satisfied. How about a drink? How about a drink? Let's all stand together. And we're going to ask our Sunday school class to come and pray at the altar. We're going to have an invitation song. And as God speaks to your heart, you come. If today is your day to say, I've been trying to fill that void. I've been trying to be satisfied with something in this world. And I realize today, as God's spoken to my heart, that there's nothing that can satisfy me except Jesus. And I'm coming to Jesus today. You come. Or maybe you're saying today you would want to come today and you just say, and many of you have already made up your mind about going out and walking. Some of you are going to stay here and pray. We encourage you to do that. If you're not able to walk, we need prayers. But maybe you're just on the edge and you say, I know I need to go. And would you just come and make that commitment and say, I'm going to come and I'm going to go. I'm going to be a part of a group. You don't have to lead the group. Just be a part of it and go and share these brochures and these gospel tracts today. Let's sing together.